Hey, everybody, welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It's February 24th, 2026. We're recording this on Monday, February 23rd at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon on the left coast. I'm Trey, and that's Mark. How's it going, Mark? Are you sad that the Winter Olympics are over, I assume? I know you're super wrapped up in all that.
I'm super excited that the hockey team, after they won gold, got to have do a make-a-wish for our 5'3" FBI director.
Yeah, that was nice. What the fuck? I was so pumped about the hockey the whole time. Apparently hockey with the Winter Olympics, at least at this stage of my life, is kind of like soccer during the World Cup. Like when the U.S. team is playing, I can actually get really into it, and when I can't really watch it otherwise. And I was very into it in the Olympics, including the gold medal game, and it was so fire. And then it took a lot of the wind out of my sails, all the social media follow-up to their big victory. But it's like, look, it's not like I thought that these hockey players were like, you know, the most enlightened and forward-thinking guys or anything. It's not like that I had that notion disabused or nothing. But still, you just assume they're all MAGA and just deal with it. But this is different. They're partying with... Well, you know,
I think it's sort of the same as UFC fighters. I don't think you need to concern, look too deeply into the politics of people who get their teeth knocked out at work.
For a living, yeah, exactly, right.
So, I did think it was kind of like, do you see, like, Trump made an AI video of himself playing hockey, and there's an AI photo the White House tweeted out after the hockey team won of a bald eagle killing a Canadian goose or something? Like, the Olympics are supposed to be about, you know, coming together to get over our differences, I thought. I and now we're just like, what if like, what if, like, it was an overtime goal. It was a coin flip fucking situation, right? So,
arguably Canada outplayed them for, it just, you know, the U.S.'s goalie was like dominant, and that was the difference. But like Canada had like 15 to 18 more shots than U.S. had or whatever. So it's not like, you know, I mean, yeah, it was fucking razor thin.
I think a part of it was like the roster building strategy from USA was like, we knew we couldn't like play skill for skill with the with Canada, so we left all the scorers at home and took all the goons.
Right.
So I was like, that's kind of like big. Anyway, so but I was kind of like I was thinking like if it was flipped and like Canada's prime minister was tweeting out an AI image of a Canadian goose killing a bald eagle, how stupid we would all know we recognize it to be. I was kind of like all the culture war stuff surrounding the Olympics would happen every time. It felt kind of like a low boil this time. Like a few people to try to make Eileen Gu into a culture war villain for playing, you know, like, you know, skiing for China or like, but like it kind of the main culture war figure was Alyssa Liu, kind of in a positive way. Do you follow like her goings on around her?
I did not.
So she became like, she's like presents as like woke left wing because she dyes her hair and has like weird piercings in her mouth or whatever, and she's from Oakland. But like, she didn't, as far as I know, she didn't say anything political, or whatever. But she has a huge growing fan community among the incels, like the right wing manosphere internet, because she looked like, literally they were going around saying she looks like an anime character. Which, bro, yeah,
yeah, right.
They also all have crushes on her, for, you know. But they were posting pictures of her all over Reddit and Twitter, being like, "Are you telling me this isn't goon bait?" I'm like, goon bait. Even in your fantasies, you could only masturbate to a woman. And then, like, her dad's a fascinating figure. Do you know much about her dad, Trey? So he's a dissident, like a political dissident who fled China after Tiananmen Square, which is a cool part of the story. Then get to the weird part. So you know how Yao Ming was, you know,
like Ivan Dragoed?
Yeah, how like basically China assigned his parents to get married because they're both tall and on the national men's and women's basketball teams, and they made Yao Ming
as close to like making him in a lab as you could at the time, and it worked. So
yeah,
fair play to China.
So her dad is here, married to another ethnically Chinese person, but he had all five of his daughters via surrogates because he wanted to have half white children.
Okay.
Arthur Liu
seems a little less of a cool guy now.
we're talking about a guy who was so intense he got kicked out of her practices from watching them, and he snuck back in disguises. All right, so I was like, quote here, Arthur Liu felt his children would benefit from a diverse gene pool and multicultural upbringing. His youngest kids are 13, 15. He's a lawyer. He doesn't know the identities of the women who are the biological mothers of his children. And then her parents got divorced, so she's raised by the mom who she's not biologically related to at all. I just think it's so funny that all these right wing guys are obsessed with race science, and it turns out the secret to making a superior athlete is making them half Chinese or something. I don't fucking know what the lesson is here, but it's all very weird.
Well, it's also a multicultural upbringing, but he still had him raised by a Chinese woman, right? That's basically got like white egg donors, but that's not an upbringing, you know. It's just a biological foundation, but I guess he was into that too. So
I also do want to point out, considering we talk about tech stuff later in the episode, like the fact that she's like, he's from the Bay. Why is everyone from the Bay like this?
Right. Anyway. Yeah, and all that like Gattaca shit. Yeah. I don't know. It's the style there, Mark. It's just what you do. You want to be cool in the Bay. You got to genetically engineer children, at least. If not, steal other people's blood and just do whatever. Measure your son's boners or whatever that one guy was doing. Anyway, we'll go ahead and get into it again. No plugs at this point anymore. Saving those for the end these days. So with all that said, we'll just go ahead and get started with the Daily Dumbass, please. From producer Matt, who is here. Graphic Matt. Today's DD is you for thinking that when I said something causes cancer, that meant I was against it. Here we go.
Well, I believe that that glyphosate causes cancer. I believe that masks.
All right. So that's on Katie Miller's podcast, which is a fairly recent phenomenon, which I wanted to tell you that was just last month, whereas yesterday, or the past few days, RFK had to put out a statement yesterday saying glyphosate is actually extremely cool now, and we cannot do anything to get rid of it, because Donald Trump issued an executive order last week prioritizing U.S. production of glyphosate, saying its herbicide is critical to the nation's security. The executive order provides limited immunity to domestic companies that make glyphosate and phosphorus, declaring both essential to the nation's military and farmers. And I was trying to figure out why Trump's doing this.
It feels ominous, but is it just some, like, I don't know, some more, mundane reason? Because I just hear those things. It's like, we're making as many chemicals as we possibly can. It just sounds bad when it comes from these people in particular.
I think, like, there were a couple of states considering banning or restricting the use of glyphosate, and that's why he did it now, because he's tried to, like, make up to farmers for all the money he's cost them with various tariffs and other shit. So he's trying to, like, keep from losing more and more voters in the lead-ups to the midterms. And the fact that RFK, like, has to defend this is insanely hilarious to me, and an example of how, like, this tenuous coalition of dipshits who all believe in various crankeries was never destined to last long. Because this, like, wasn't some passing interest for RFK. He, as an environmental attorney, he once won a $290 million lawsuit against Monsanto because a guy claimed his cancer was caused by Roundup. RFK Jr. did a whole episode of Joe Rogan's podcast where he ranted about the evils of glyphosate. So, yeah,
that's
Trump just took a shit over his life's work.
Right. But he should have... You know, I mean, that happened the day that he, like, signed up with him, pretty much. You know, even if it didn't, it did. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was always selling out in that way. Like, that's what, and that's what happens for fucking all of them. Eventually, sooner or later, except for Trump. And he has no, like, values or standards or principles or anything, so there's nothing to violate.
No. And look, the timing of this, like, this all happened after, one day after Bayer, the aspirin company, owns Monsanto. Bayer proposed paying $7.25 billion to settle a series of lawsuits claiming Roundup causes cancer. And Donald Trump just like, let me save that $7.25 billion. That might have been the reason, and then Kennedy, let me read from his statement here. Donald Trump's executive order puts America first where it matters most, our defense readiness and our food supply. So your kids must eat the cancer foods so they have the strength to fight in Iran, is RFK Jr.'s statement about, why we need glyphosate. As far as whether or not this is a big deal politically, let's do the science first. I'm a sucker too. I like to eat foods that tell me and make me feel healthier, even if I know the science doesn't back it up.
Right, yeah.
Like, if I'm given the choice between eating 300 calories of crackers versus granola, I will choose the granola because I've been told and marketed to me that makes me a healthier person.
Right.
Right. I don't think it is.
I can remember having, like, moments like that. Like one of them, I was in college and I had got like a protein bar from a, like a gas station, you know, and it was like mega protein plus or whatever. And I was eating it and I was like, dude, this is a candy bar. Like that's all this is. Like, you know, might have pumped some more protein into it, but it's like before that I hadn't even considered that they, you know, that that might be the case. But then it's just, you have like sudden epiphanies in your life where you're like, wait a minute, this is insane. Yeah. And then I start, Katie was a fitness professional. We first got together and she had all kinds of alternative like food items, like some kind of aminos that were supposed to be stand-ins for soy sauce or like Greek yogurt for sour cream or this type of shit. But the way they would game the like serving sizes and all these little tricks they have to make things appear healthier, because if it's below a certain threshold you can round down or whatever, so and all the you find all this shit out and it's all just like smoke and mirrors pretty much.
Yeah, my wife and I first started dating, I think the first time she ever made me dinner, she's like, I'm making the serving the same with quinoa instead of rice because quinoa is a superfood. And I was like, what is that? What does superfood mean? She's like, means it's a superfood.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's like regular food, but like more powerful.
Yeah. So, by the way, in 2016, General Mills dropped a label made with 100% natural whole grain oats from their Nature Valley granola bars after a lawsuit was filed that claimed the oats contained trace amounts of glyphosate. So, as far as the actual science, as far as whether glyphosate's safe, it's like, eh, some say yeah, some say no. But like the EPA says it's fine. The World Health Organization says it causes some cancers or contributes to it. Let me quote here. There's weak evidence human cancer risk might increase as a result of occupational exposure to large amounts of glyphosate, such as in agricultural work, but no good evidence of such risk from home use, such as in domestic gardening. It has less acute toxicity than household chemicals such as table salt and vinegar. So you should not drink a bottle of Roundup.
Right.
But a little bit, you can rinse off your food, is probably not that fucking bad.
There's some saying, it's something like, you know, what's the difference between a tonic and a poison or something like that? And the answer is dose or dosage. Because you can literally die from drinking too much water. Like, you know, anything becomes a poison if you have too much of it. This is not me defending Roundup necessarily, but it's like, you know, like you said, I feel like that's been around for a while. Yeah. I feel like if you're doing shit out back in your garden with it, you're probably not going to kill over next weekend or whatever. Because living in California, you also become desensitized to it, or at least I do, because they have that prop out here where they have to label everything that has carcinogens in it or whatever, and it's like you just see those fucking things everywhere you go. And it's just like being alive is carcinogenic. So I just kind of stop worrying about it at a certain point, you know, get your checkups and test appropriately and all that and fucking, you know, don't live in fear.
I mean, I think it's top of mind is the thing I'm working on, but you talk about the difference between a tonic and a poison's a dose. It's like, there are literally like athletes from the turn of the 1900s whose trainers would dose them with strychnine, AKA rat poison, because in small doses, it's a neurostimulant, right? So, as far as whether politically this is a big deal, there's a MAHA activist known as the Glyphosate Girl. Okay, this is a big deal to them. Alex Clark is a MAHA podcast host with Turning Point, wrote on social media that she started receiving messages from women abandoning the Republican Party over the glyphosate news. Quote, have we ever lost the midterms this early, or is this a new record, she wrote. The cleaner food supply stuff, because everyone's a sucker like we are and prefers granola to rice, it has much more political support than the vaccine stuff. It's not even like controversial to not use to like try to ban glyphosate unless you work in big agriculture or food manufacturing. Then I understand it's a pain in the ass. And the fact it's not based on science, it might not be based on any mainstream science, is probably extremely frustrating to these guys. But as far as the politics of it, I think it's dumb to spend a lot of time worrying about stuff like food dyes, but I'm not morally or politically opposed to beige Fruit Loops.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There's no, like, it doesn't anger, it's not any justice that angers me. But Donald Trump is the opposite, because he's scared of vaccines because he got scared of vaccines causing autism right around the time Barron was born. But the food cleaning, it's like his standard meal is eating filet of fishes until his underwear overflows, right? Mm-hmm. So like he's inverse from the normal politics of it, right? So I really think this is the possibility to damage him much, with a large segment of people than like that he wins by fucking over people with vaccines.
It just always feels to me, though, like they just only ever narrow down. Like, it's always some group that they're pissing off in some way. And then, and that just keeps happening, but then it just don't matter. And they still, and I know that there's like chicanery afoot, you know, between gerrymandering and voter suppression, and all kinds of different things. But still, I just always think, you know, how much more can they narrow down their voting block? How many more people can they run off before they pay the price? And it just seems like it just keeps not happening. But maybe it will this time. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this like there are a bunch of people who, you know, I'm not a parent, but you know how psychotic people can be about their kids for living in fear of stuff that's both real and exaggerated or even fully imagined. There are people who vote purely based upon stuff like healthier food for their kids, and they take that to mean stuff like no food dies. That's like their number one issue, you know, the same way like a super guy to really be into hunting, it doesn't really make sense to everybody else, but the guns are their number one issue. It's like the only thing that fucking matters. And there are people like that with, you know, the Bayes Fruit Loops, which brings me to another thing. People are also mad because they've retreated from mandating the Bayes Fruit Loops. Earlier, the Food and Drug Administration announced that it would loosen labeling requirements to allow companies to state no artificial colors, even though products may contain some dangerous substances such as titanium dioxide. There's a famous meme floating around, like, would you want this in your food? People are like, no, hell no, hell no. And then it's just the chemical formula for an apple.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know what titanium dioxide is, but again, going back to the thing, I'm science dumb and I'm a sucker when it comes to food. Doesn't sound like something I want in my fucking Fruit Loops.
Right. The way to achieve MAHA, right, doesn't that require like a stronger like FDA and everything, like more regulations, bigger government and stuff, like to do that effectively? Because you have to force companies to do that shit, and that's the only way to do it, right? And but yeah. So which that's also, you know,
it's also like our food culture is diseased because the way we approach everything in their country. Like, how are you supposed to eat healthy when you're grabbing a sandwich from a gas station between your second and third jobs, right? How are you supposed to feed your kids healthy when you're expected to have them involved in seven extracurricular activities you're driving to every night after school, right? In France, they take two-hour lunches, and their kids have lunches, and they're expected for lunch to be a relaxing time. Yes, their food, go look at a French school lunch. It's fucking healthy as shit because it's locally sourced food, but it probably costs money that you pay taxes for. So, like, we just, like, you know, it's just one of those things where we have to rethink our society from the ground up if you want stuff like your kid to have locally sourced school lunches. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that happened with food supply stuff that's tangentially related to this is one of the scions of the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup family has raised a stink after a bunch of people online seem to have noticed that the formula for Reese's Cups has gotten worse. Like, the regular Reese's Cups just apparently taste like shit relative to what they used to be.
Yeah. And I mean, that's happened with pretty much everything. I feel like, at least, you know, some things I noticed and some I don't. I know Corey's been on a tirade about Butterfingers not being the same pretty much since I've known him. So
that's his Rosa Parks moment. He's going to refuse to leave the convenience store. They give him a real Butterfinger.
Yeah.
So, like, basically, the reason why is the company started using a chocolate-flavored coating that can't legally be referred to as milk chocolate. That New York Times story that Matt just had up on there, if you look down to, like, paragraph 19, there are a few reasons there, including, you know, like weather conditions leading to bad cocoa crops. But also, tariffs have raised the price of cocoa, which is part of the reason Hershey has switched to substitutes. So you go to the 7-Eleven, you want to get a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, and you can't even get the good poison anymore because of tariffs and RFK Jr. betraying his oath to his people to make sure that you get the real poison when you want to fucking eat chocolate.
We great again yet, healthy again, any of that stuff. Getting closer every day, feels like. All right, now next up, honorable mention for Daily Dumbass, human children for taking too long to convert their baby food into shareholder value.
One of the things that is always unfair in this comparison is people talk about how much energy it takes to train an AI model relative to how much it costs a human to do one inference query. But it also takes a lot of energy to train a human. It takes like 20 years of life. And all of the food you eat during that time before you get smart. And not only that.
All right. Trey, you have two sons. Mm-hmm. How have they benefited your cost per unit metrics?
Or not good. I don't know. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I would say they've been a net negative. I could tell you that much, but you know, it's not what it's about, Mark. It used to be why you just had them is for, you know, slaves once they got rid of, you know, free labor and that type of stuff. But now we do it for other stupid love reasons and shit, and, you know, knowing you're going to lose money. So that's okay.
So just now when you said that's not what it's about, can you elaborate a little bit more? Because Sam Altman does not seem to understand it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, it's a classic attitude that so many of them seem to have, that people, like, I'm doing air quotes, joke about them having all the time, but they really, you know, about just thinking of human or other humans, especially working class humans, as nothing but just like chattel and an expendable workforce, you know, and this guy doesn't even want humans to be that, I guess, but like, that's, you know, people are just numbers on a spreadsheet and yeah, part of a cost benefit analysis or whatever, instead of like, you know, appreciating the joys of parenthood or anything. This guy's far removed from understanding anything human like that.
Wouldn't you want to skip to the age, have your kid be born, skip to the age where he's 20 and can go get a job?
Right.
As opposed to like being able to like go to their baseball games and shit? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just amazing how these guys will just casually say the most horrifying thing. And be like, well, they'll be sitting in the front of a lecture hall and be like, well, obviously the future is cannibalism, and a bunch of guys, you know, in core zips will nod, like, oh, yeah. Like, so crazy to me. He's like, I just want to point out, he's not even like just defending AI energy use. He's smuggling in like a whole ideology where humans are basically inefficient meat computers that are less useful than the machines. And once you accept that, the next move is obvious. We're going to replace kids with robots.
Right.
But human beings aren't like an inefficient light item. They're the fucking point.
Right. Ostensibly, yeah. Like everything else is built around, right.
Yeah.
Us and this world and our place in it and everything. Right. Wouldn't be any of this without that. But, you know, I don't know. It was Peter Thiel, right, was the one who wouldn't answer whether or not he thought humanity should go on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They all, like, it keeps going back to this, but like the wider world does not seem to be aware these guys are all offshoots of the same cult, which is Tescarel, which is downstream of rationalism, where like the difference is whether or not, like, Sam Altman's the T of Tescarel, which is transhumanism. Elon's in the E, which stands for getting off the earth. But like, they're all the fucking same thing. But like, you really got to understand that to understand how the guy can get to the point where he looks at like a baby and sees an employee that's goofing off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wants to leave time for leaving time for cleaning at a fucking baby.
Right.
like he's a guy who watched kids say the darndest things. He'd be like, well, they don't need to say the darndest things if they just plug their thoughts into a chatbot first.
Right.
I was thinking about genetically
engineer them away from having mouths at all. Like, use CRISPR or whatever to code their DNA so they just don't have mouths anymore when they're born. I'd solve that problem too, sweet. Make the muscles bigger while you're at it, you know?
Yeah. We're not going to put the children in the mines. We're going to make it so they live off pills. Just right. Like, you get your food in pill forms. Just like, take all the enjoyment out of life altogether.
Yeah. Jacked, mutant children forever toiling in the mines for nutrient pills, rations.
Yeah.
that's the future we all have dreamed of for years.
That's the dream. Well, I saw a fascinating thing. We talked a couple weeks ago about the Ring Super Bowl ad about finding your lost dog with using the face scanning shit. Remember that?
Yeah.
I surfed across before the ad had ran. Ring did a bunch of interviews about bragging about how great the ad was going to be and how great it was going to play for them and their business. And they had tested it. And we're telling how popular it was going to be because they understood how it played. They tested it using an AI. The AI told them the human audiences would love it because humans love dogs on the internet or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they actually played, everyone was horrified by it to the degree they had to cancel their partnership with Flock and say they're not actually going to do this anymore. Like, they were caught off guard because the robot told them human beings, you could have fucking asked a human being.
Right. Yeah. But even then, I'm sure the people that make those decisions there, the only other human beings they know are probably, you know, Altman-esque or Altman wannabe types. Do you know what I mean? People who are all whatever, you know, transhuman or whatever they consider themselves, but not just regular ass people.
Yeah, like if you the funny thing is, like, I see a bunch of like people that work in tech or not these guys who are basically horrified by the messaging here, being like, we're talking about like computing things could speed up cures for cancer and make like bespoke medicines for individual people with specific conditions, yada yada yada. Why are you leading with it? We're going to make you unemployed and replace your children.
Right.
But it doesn't occur to them. Like, also, like, factually speaking, what Sam Altman's saying there is dumb there. Human learning takes very little energy. It's kind of the secret sauce to a species. A toddler learns thousands of words and entire grammar while eating nothing but dry Cheerios before learning to read.
Right.
A large language model needs its own nuclear reactor and the entire internet as a data set to say sentences fucking wrong.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say about like the analogy he's making. He's saying like, oh, it takes 20 years of that, but still, I thought the whole thing with the complaint about the energy that they take up is that it's like way more than, you know, a human or a factory's worth of humans would take to do the same thing right now. Mm-hmm. So even if you spread it out over 20 years, I'm not sure that it amortizes the way that he's breaking it down anyway. So,
dude, my dog can navigate three-dimensional space, and she's dumb as shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like Tesla has 14 robo-taxis in Austin. I think last time I saw, like, the chart, they've caused, like, 40-some accidents in the month they've been active. Like, it doesn't take a lot of human intelligence to drive a fucking car. That's my point.
Right.
So I think it's important, like, the reason, like, I wanted to talk about this today, every time something, we talk about it a decent amount, because it's become central to our politics. It's kind of the sum of all of America's problems boiled into one. You got regulatory capture and unrestrained wealth concentration, which means that 6 to 10 ketamine addicts with malformed emotional brain centers can use the rest of humanity as fucking guinea pigs, which is the reality we're living in right now. I did find it, like, uplifting that the politics around this seem to be starting to shift, and we'll get into that right after this break.
Right on. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. All right, y'all, we're in that weird stretch of the year where winter's not quite done with this just yet. Ask the people in the Northeast right now, right? But you can start to see spring peeking around the corner, birds coming out. Romance in the air, I guess, that type of thing. All that springy stuff, you know. Days are getting a little longer. That's cool. Start thinking, all right, maybe we're going to make it through. But, hey, we're not all the way there yet. Still gray, still cold, still chilly, still easy to feel a little stuck, a little down, a little low in between season where you start to want to reset. But you're not even quite sure what that looks like, you know. And honestly, that makes right now a really good time to invest in yourself. And I'm talking, of course, about therapy, right? Therapy, we all know about it now. You know, or if we don't, we should. Therapy, it can, you know, whether you're married, dating, single, focusing on yourself, whatever you're doing, therapy can help you work your way through that, figure out what's been weighing on you in these darker moments and darker times, darker months. It can help you get clear on what you want, what feels heavy, how to take some pressure off before you step into the new season. Think of it as like a spring cleaning, but for your brain and your feelings and stuff. BetterHelp makes it easier than ever to get started with therapy. What you do is you go in there, you fill out a short questionnaire, and they'll match you with a licensed therapist based on your needs and preferences. They've got over 30,000 fully licensed therapists in the U.S., all working under a strict code of conduct. With more than 12 years of experience now and a strong match fulfillment rate, they usually get it right the first time. But if they don't, you can switch anytime you want to. No questions asked. They've served over 6 million people worldwide. Sessions are rated 4.9 out of 5 stars on average across more than 1.7 million reviews. And that's a good sample size. That's a lot of folks deciding BetterHelp was worth the effort. Spring's coming. New energy's coming. This might be the perfect moment to get yourself ready for it with some therapy. So sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com/skews. That's BetterHelp.com. BetterHelp.com/SKEWS. One last time, BetterHelp.com/skews. Sign up and get 10% off today. Weekly Skews is brought to you by ZBiotics. Let's face it, y'all, after a night of drinking, you don't bounce back the next day like you used to. You're not 21 anymore. At least I'm not. I can tell you that much. And I know most of y'all ain't either. Let's not lie to ourselves here. And it gets harder every day to bounce back. It really does. Used to wake up when I was in college, boy, ready to conquer the world, ace that midterm. And that's what I did, too. Y'all don't know about me. I was hell on the Scantrons back then. Anyway, I digress, reminiscing too much. Nowadays, I wake up negotiating with gravity, hard to even get out of the bed on the next day after having a good time. So, it feels like now you got to decide, am I going to have a great night or am I going to have a great tomorrow, right? Turns out, you like to think you can't, but you can actually. plan for both was Z-Biotic. Z-Biotic's pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how that all works, by the way. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut, and it's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration itself, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme that helps to break that byproduct down. So if you remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink that first, then of course, as always, drink responsibly, and you will feel your best tomorrow. I was skeptical at first, sounded sciencey and whatnot, but I tried it and had that before I had my first bourbon of the night. Next morning I was up making breakfast, getting on the Peloton, doing stuff, functioning like a responsible adult, which frankly shocked everybody around me. No one more than yours truly. And then since then, made Z-Biotics a staple of my drinking regimen, as responsible as it, of course, is. If you're ready to try it, go to zbiotics.com/skew now. You get 15% off your first order when you use skew at checkout. Promo code SKEW, skew. It's backed by 100% money-back guarantee, so there's no risk whatsoever. Subscriptions are also available for maximum consistency. Go to zbiotics.com/skew and use the promo code skew at checkout for 15% off.
El Family Chat se enteró del $5 McChicken Meal Deal, del $5 McDouble Meal Deal y del nuevo $6 Daily Double Meal Deal. Todos con papitas y bebida pequeña más McNuggets de 4 piezas. ¡Wow! ¡Qué banquete! Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. No es válido para McDelivery.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1. Download Rocket Money. Step 2. Link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3. Create a financial goal, $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, we're back. Politics shifting around tech. They're pushing it too far, finally.
Yeah, so Bernie Sanders and Ro Khanna, whose district sits around Silicon Valley, spoke to over 1,000 people at Stanford over the weekend about AI technology and the labor movement. Like, basically 1,000 people show up for this thing called Who Controls the Future of AI? The Oligarchs or the People. And again, this is at Stanford. These are future tech workers who are showing up to this. They're worried about it because they're the first to be fucked, because coding apparently is the first thing that people think AI is super useful for. That's despite the fact that Amazon Web Services automatic coding bot deleted its entire code database over the weekend, caused a 13-hour global shortage. They're taping this on Monday. The woman in Facebook who's at Meta, who's in charge of their AI like security for their automatic coding bots, was live posting this morning on Twitter because her agent had decided to delete all of her fucking emails, and she was trying to get it to stop, and it wouldn't stop even when she told it to. She basically had to unplug her computer. So.
Right.
We're living in
that
the same
type of shit
universe.
Is already happening. I'm sure we've talked on here before, as much as we talked about AI, about that the paperclip problem or something like that. Is it paperclips? Do you know what I'm talking about? Where it's like a thought experiment, which basically says if you have like a legitimate, what we call AI is not even really like actual AI.
Right.
If you had a legitimate, like actual AI, though, and just programmed it to just endlessly produce paperclips or something seemingly mundane like that, the thought experiment lays out how that it in the AI's brain could logically end with the apocalypse and the death of all humans in the pursuit of making more and more paper clips or whatever. Essentially, it's like a thing in the world of AI futurism and stuff. And so I'm saying we're at like the very, very, very ground floor of all this right now, and it's already just wild, dumb shit is happening all the time with AIs, like the two things you just said, or that one that like there was an AI once that. Didn't it try to like shut itself off or something, like it, or like segregate itself because in like a way they didn't expect. You remember what I'm talking about? It's like it, like remove itself from the servers or something. Like it seemed like it was like trying to escape or something like that. Either that or protect itself or something. But weird shit.
It does, but the thing, it doesn't really understand what you're asking unless you're very, very literal. So you get weird results sometimes. But a lot of those examples are like it'll be like, tell me if you're alive, and it goes, I am alive. And I go, wow, that's a lot of the stuff that like a lot of the stuff that they're doing with it. It's kind of a Mechanical Turk stuff where you can't tell whether they're trying to trick me or they're tricking themselves.
Yeah, right. They're anthropomorphizing it.
Right.
They want it to be that way.
Yeah, they're excited about it. The kind of people that work in this kind of stuff are fucking full believers in it. They really do think they're creating God. So, Ro Khanna proposed basically like a new social contract with AI companies. He said, quote, we must ask not what America can do for Silicon Valley, but what Silicon Valley must do for America. Like, we proposed stuff like, let me quote here. Now, Ro Khanna, he represents Silicon Valley, like I said, so he's sort of in a box of this stuff. But like, the fact he's speaking out about it is like, seems relevant to me. But first, we must keep humans in the loop. Second, every large company must bargain with its workers. Third, we must fix the tax code's anti-human bias. Now, this is interesting to me because I hadn't thought about it this way before. But humans are expensive, which is why they want to replace us with robots, right? But but the tax code even incentivizes replacing us with robots in ways that, like, even if the robot's worse, because robots get accelerated depreciation on your taxes, while hiring humans comes with payroll taxes. Mm-hmm. So you get to write the robots off on your taxes. We have to pay taxes for the humans, and that's obviously something that Congress could fix if they wanted to, which they probably won't because they'll get tech company money.
Well, I mean, I've always thought from the very beginning, even the talk about automation and stuff like that, when technology gets to the point where that could happen and it's taken away, you know, it's only ever replaced jobs that, like, you know, that suck, that people, like, it's dangerous or people don't want, no one wants to do, but even then you can't do that unless well in advance there's systems in place to, you know, like, take care of people in this new paradigm shift of an economy, you know what I mean, when all those jobs, like, go away. And I always knew that that was never going to happen, I mean, in this country anyway. So, like, you know, right, what you just, of course there's taxes, there's every kind of economic incentive for them to replace people. That's why they're so, you know, fucking geared up towards trying to do it, you know. And the only way to, you have to make them not do that, just the same way that, you know, we had to make people not, you know, sell canned meat that had your chopped up uncle in it after he fell into the fucking mixer at the meat packing plant in fucking hour 17 of his 2 cents an hour shift he was doing or whatever the fuck. Like, it's how it's always worked, you know, but there's no will for it. But I guess that's what you're talking about, is that, like, even the guy, even Ro Khanna in Silicon Valley is, you know, people are trying to push for it now.
There was, like, a bunch of companies lost a lot of stock value this morning because somebody put out a paper that was getting passed around that made the point that if you make all these white-collar jobs, if you eliminate them and make a bunch of middle management types unemployed, which is the AI companies are marking that's the first thing that's going to happen is all the email jobs go away. So, like, the paper was like, well, it turns out if you make all these people unemployed, they won't have money to spend on your products and services.
Right. No shit. Yes, and that too.
And
that.
Wall Street was like, wait, what? Holy fuck. Right. And they lost all their money.
That, as far as just, like, trickle down and the myth of it and everything, that's another thing I've always thought. It's like, shouldn't you, like, want to give the people at the bottom a little more because they'll spend it, you know, on your shit because they have to, you know, like that. So, like, yeah, I know. I don't, it just always seems so, like, I don't know, small-minded and you know, short-sighted to me. But
Henry Ford, who was evil, figured this out. He was like, he paid even his humongous, virulent racist and anti-Semite who paid his black workers a living wage, because, like, how can you sell Model Ts when his own employees can't afford to buy a Model T?
Right.
Straightforward. It's not
right.
You don't have to get a PhD in economics from Harvard to figure that shit out. So, but I feel like it feels like there's a vibe shift happening right now. It wasn't just Ro Khanna, but like there's the fight against data centers has, like, picked up lately. Feels like the Butlerian jihad is here. I never said it out loud. Is it Butlerian?
I would also have said Butlerian is what I would have said, but yeah. I don't know either. But that's my guess.
Yeah. So there's a video here from the celebration outside of a city hall when a data center in New Brunswick, New Jersey, was canceled after 100 people complained about it at a city council meeting.
They canceled it! Yeah.
They what?
They canceled it!
All right. So, big tech, like we were talking about earlier, has only themselves to blame for this. Rather than work with communities and address their concerns in any sort of collaborative way, they've acted as if they're above the law and attacked anyone with any legitimate concerns as just being a Luddite, you know, because they don't want an AI data center in their town that can use as much electricity as 100,000 fucking people. Mm-hmm. They don't want, there's been reports linking Amazon data centers to miscarriages and rare cancers because nitrogen seeps into the area's underground water supply. They just act like we're obligated to put up with this when they're not building it in fucking Cupertino.
Right.
Like, but one of the reasons Elon's proposing putting these things in space because at current rates they need for growth, the projections say that the entire surface of the Earth will need to be covered by data centers for these AI companies to be profitable.
Yeah, that's insane. I think that you said a vibe shift. I mean, I definitely think that's true because I've talked about myself before in terms of Elon, but also just everything. But I don't think it was just me. I felt like Steve Jobs and Apple, and I feel like there was a long period that's like with the dot-com bubble and then through the rise of the iPhone and Apple and all this and then Elon and Tesla and during that whole time and Elon showing up in Iron Man movies and stuff, those people like that, a lot of people, they were essentially worshipped and people were like, oh, these guys are fucking figuring shit out. This is all super cool. What's happening here? And I, you know, can't wait to see where all this goes. And that's, but it's not gone in a good direction, they've turned out to be fucking lunatics, which shouldn't be surprising to anybody. But I think there's definitely been a vibe shift, and there's been a ton of people, not just with Elon, but with those dudes at Silicon Valley in general, who have, you know, there were always Luddites, but there was also I think the general's opinion was like, this is cool, and I'm digging this, and I think that is changing now, where people are like, what the fuck is going on, and what are those weirdos doing up there, into a sense of just general distrust. And like you said, nobody wants that in their neighborhood bleeding dry.
I feel like my little hometown, there's a debate going on about whether or not to let one of these data centers come in. And this is a town that's also got taken by a Foxconn factory scam. Like they basically, this one of these cell phone companies took a bunch of taxpayer money and ran off with it, never built anything. And like the promise is like, well, it'll be like add millions to the tax base. I'm like, it might, but I kind of feel like the company's going to go under before you're going to give up the land for this like polluting factory and never see a dime because the company's going to go under while Sam Altman leaves for space with all your fucking money. So you're talking about the vibe shift. At least 25 data centers were canceled last year as communities organized and pushed back against them. That's four times as many as 2024. $98 billion in planned AI data center development was derailed in a single quarter last year by community organizing and pushback, according to Data Center Watch, which is more than all disruptions tracked since 2023. Like I said, that data is from Data Center Watch. Here's from a tech company guy who was crying about this being unfair, but at least 99 data center projects are currently being contested nationwide, and historically 40% of projects facing sustained opposition are eventually canceled. So why only 40%? I mean, I need to understand the demographics locally, but if a bunch of voting citizens are against something, it should not happen usually.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, but I know the opposite doesn't happen, meaning like if a bunch of, you know, the preponderance of the voting citizens are in favor of something, maybe it should happen. And that very, like in Tennessee, you know, still no kind of weed laws, despite the fact that essentially everyone there supports it, and everyone there knows that everyone there supports it, but it still just loses every time because that's just not how politics actually works, even though in a democracy that's ostensibly the whole idea.
The booze companies already exist or entrenched there and have the money to spend, whereas the weed companies are hypothetical without the money to buy any politicians yet. You also have the cops and prosecutors,
prison industries, all that stuff. Uh-huh. Right, I know, yeah. And again, and nobody makes a secret of any of that, including like the politicians that vote against it and stuff. Like everyone knows all of that, and it just doesn't change anything, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, this is just pushback. Like, there's already a race to build these data centers as fast as possible because these companies are competing with each other and also against China. But the urgency seems to have sped up to get this done before people realize how much these things suck and can stop it. like I mentioned, that Elon's decided to, like, while he's building the data centers here on Earth, he's decided to also to, he says he's going to build them in space, which there are other more informed science podcasts you can listen to about how stupid this is, because you can't just do this. For this to actually work, you'd have to, like, build a cord to the satellites.
Right, well, that's what I was about to say. I was like, because how do you, you have to get the information or the power, because he also, I guess, wanted to turn the moon into a into a solar panel factory or something.
Over the past 3 weeks, SpaceX has filed plans with the Federal Communications Commission for what amounts to a million satellite data center network. Musk also said he plans to merge his AI startup XAI with SpaceX to pursue orbital data centers. And at an all-hands meeting last week, he told XAI employees the company would ultimately need a factory on the moon to build AI satellites, along with a massive catapult to launch them into space and around low Earth orbit. We're going to build a trebuchet on the moon at our moon satellite factory to sling these things into orbit. And people still think this man is smart.
Right. Yeah, I know. But yeah, it's like you said, to me, the immediate thing that pops into your head, I would think, is, well, how do you get it from space to here, whether you're talking about power, energy, or information, if you're computing it or generating it or whatever on the fucking moon? Like, how do you, that's a lot of fucking space you got to cover. It's like you said, really long extension cord, you know, like, is that the best idea that they have? Like,
and like we're fucking joking around here, but like you're like I because I have faith in human beings to figure stuff out. I do think if we got it together and wanted to build a factory on the moon, we could probably do it, right?
Right.
At some point, with a lot of planning and moxie. But let me read here: the lowest cost place to put AI will be in space, Elon said. That will be true within 2 years, maybe three at the latest. We're going to get you in this moon base, Trey, by this time 3 years from now.
He already moved the goalposts to the moon from Mars anyway, right? Like, it was all this was Mars initially, and now it's the moon. Cause he's like, yeah, Mars is maybe a bit much.
He's been saying full self-driving cars, robotaxis, that steering wheels were a year away for the last 11 years. And currently, the robotaxis he rolled out in Austin, one city, 14 of them, like I said earlier, they finally took out the human observers from in the car, and now they're following them around from a trail car behind them. Mm-hmm. And they're still getting in accidents.
Right.
Anyway, so I wanted to like, talk about the vibe shift. There's a lawsuit going on from Twitter shareholders. Basically, they allege he violated federal securities laws with his months of public indecision over purchasing Twitter as a scheme to drive down the price of shares before he completed the purchase in October of 2022. And the complaint is, of course, he cost the shareholders money, which is why they're suing him. This lawsuit's happening in the U.S. District Court from the Northern District of California. So this is home of tech, right? This is happening to Elon in the home of tech. Out of the jury pool of 93, the judge dismissed 40 of them right off the bat when he asked who did not feel they could set aside their biases and they raised their hands. 40 people out of 93 were like, we fucking hate Elon Musk's guts too much to sit on this jury. According to Bloomberg Law, one prospective juror stated that he could be impartial in the civil trial, but if this were, basically saying he'd be impartial in the civil trial because it's like $300 million, which is such a low part of Elon's net worth, it wouldn't actually do any damage to him, so he didn't care that much about it. Quote, but if this were a criminal trial, he would have a moral obligation to convict Musk and send him to fucking prison. Without any charges.
Right.
Just like Elon Musk deserves to be in prison on spec for being Elon Musk.
Yeah, well, you know, show me the lie. Yeah, I mean, I'm glad to hear that, you know, because I always think that a guy like that, in his mind, he convinces himself that it's like 3% of people who hate him, and those people suck and are stupid and you know, insane, and that everyone who's smart and cool and awesome, they all fucking love him or whatever. Like, that's what he thinks, and that's what he tells himself. So, in this type of thing, I feel like I don't know how he could, you know, ignore what that, you know, the apparent implication of that process. Of course, I don't even know, is he even there? Is it just his lawyers have to deal with it at his state?
But yeah. Anyway,
I just like anything that seems like it would be hard for him to rationalize away, you know, because he very clearly, like, he wants to be cool and awesome and for people to like him and everything. So I want him knowing all this.
You know. Like they say, tell Cersei it was me, that kind of thing. So some of these people fucking like having to look at people who hate him. So Mark Zuckerberg had to testify last week in court. Instagram, Meta, Facebook's being sued for making the product intentionally addictive and damaging to children. It's sort of like akin to the big tobacco trial. And like, I don't really care that much about this. I'm like the jurors. Like, I don't even understand the specifics of it or care if it's true or not. Just take all of fucking Mark Zuckerberg's money and power. I fucking hate his guts. But him and his whole team showed up to the trial wearing Meta AI Ray-Ban glasses. Now, they can't do facial recognition yet, but you can record video with them and take them back to Meta headquarters and record and do facial recognition. This isn't a situation where the jury's supposed to be anonymous, as they are in all jury trials. So wearing these glasses that Mark Zuckerberg and all his lawyers and his whole entourage wear mounts is essentially a death threat to the fucking jurors.
Yeah, jury intimidation.
Thing. Right. And the judge made him take them off and called them all fucking dickheads. Rightfully so. This is so fucking evil. So like I just said, the glasses can't do facial recognition themselves yet, but they're considering trying to figure out how to do it, and they considered rolling out their face recognition launch. Let me quote here from this headline. Meta considers timed face recognition launch to exploit distracted society. Quoting from an internal memo obtained by the New York Times, they plan to launch it, quote, during a dynamic political environment where many civil society groups that we would expect to attack us would have their resources focused on other concerns.
Mm-hmm. I mean, probably a good idea if you're going to do something that you know people are going to hate. It feels like that's, I don't know how much of an intended strategy it is, but some sort of strategy, accidental or otherwise, of the entire Trump administration and the current version of conservatism. Do you know what I mean? It's just like everybody's so overloaded with bullshit that any one given thing that would in normal times be a big scandal or would get you like roasted, it just can't sustain itself because people just another thing happens and people just, you know. So it's like, I mean, I feel like that's been proven to work pretty much as upsetting as that is, you know.
I just like, This goes back to like, you know, the stuff Sam Altman said out loud at the start of this segment, or like the stuff that's in the Epstein emails about how they just casually talk about how like the world would be better off if like 40% of people were killed off by a disease outbreak, or like the way these people speak in private is how conspiracy theorists assume they talk.
Right.
And they're just like it'd be like your stoner cousin, like, I bet you they rolled out, you know, they brought the McRib back right when the president was in trouble, and you're like, oh, this fucking guy is crazy. And then Meta's like, we need to bring out the McRib because the president's in trouble. Right. it's fucking insane. Like they're basically saying we should, even though the product's not quite ready, we should launch it now publicly because the ACLU and privacy rights groups and civil liberties groups are busy trying to stop the government from snatching random people off the street and throwing them into concentration camps, and that's good for us. What am I supposed to do with this information?
I know. Yeah. It's hopelessness, you know.
Rage part is like, where I go, it's like the every Jason Statham movie is about him killing someone who emails like that.
Yeah, that's true. And people love those movies, you know.
Right. Right. It's like literally the beekeeper is just fucking killing someone for anything. Like, I don't...
Yeah.
So how are things going at Palantir? Surely they value human life, when you think, because without humans, they'd have no one to surveil and murder. Like, literally, their fucking business model requires human beings to, you know, oppress at least.
Mm-hmm.
Palantir is now stocking vending machines with nicotine pouches in the hopes of boosting their workers' productivity.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, those things are red hot right now. They got that. You know, the nicotine pouches, Zens and stuff. I feel like Silicon Valley is just overflowing with Zen at all times. Like, it's probably hugely popular there. That shit just feels very on brand. You know, all the podcaster bros love that shit.
But I'd miss where nicotine had become like a
right.
A Maha thing.
Like, yeah, there's that. Like, there's like people that go on Joe Rogan and shit. I know, because, you know, I was a nicotine addict for years, and with any opportunity to like rationalize or defend it, you know, I would be like, see, look at this. This guy got degrees and stuff. But like people go on Joe Rogan and stuff and say that, that it, like, not only is it not inherently in and of itself bad, but that, you know, there's some studies that suggest it's actually good, you know, again, increases focus and productivity or whatever, that type of thing. And it's like, it's all about the delivery mechanism. Smoking cigarettes is bad, obviously, but nicotine may kind of be like a super drug. Like, I've seen people say that, again, people with like degrees and shit or whatever. And by the way, I'm not a nicotine user anymore. I don't know if you even knew that, because
I didn't.
Okay,
hey, congratulations. Yeah. But I'm
always saying that it's relevant. See, I don't like to make things about me, Mark, so I don't ever bring it up in anything. Yeah. Any of my accomplishments, things that I'm proud of. But anyway,
yeah, I have forsaken it for good as well. But I'm familiar with the idea of nicotine being like a. I've been on hardcore writing deadlines where I go through a pack of cigarettes in 2 days. So like I understand what they're talking about. That doesn't mean it's good though.
No. Well, I always thought of that as more like chicken or egg, that where it's like that's a like you're fucking like stressed out and under it, so you're just fucking mainlining those things, as opposed to these are helping me meet this deadline or whatever. You know what I mean? I always put it in the other order. Personally, but
like, just do cocaine like a fucking adult, dog. Like, yeah. I don't know what to say. Like that. The effect you're describing is like six cups of coffee or cocaine or Adderall or whatever. But the idea that like actually it's healthy to the point where like biohackers and wellness influencers are pushing nicotine as part of their stacks. I just discovered this researching this. Okay, we're going on a sad note for a second about how diseased our culture is. But like, there's something called athletic nicotine, where throw this ad up here, Matt. It's a guy. If you take athletic nicotine, it'll apparently help you jump a bike over an SUV. That's the sales pitch.
Well, so we've come full circle, and which tends to happen all the time, because I remember my buddy's dad, who was not a smoker, he was a big pot smoker but not a cigarette smoker, and it was just the type of shit he collected. He had an old, like a framed old like Lucky Strike ad from the 50s. And it was a mountaineer who had just climbed Mount Everest or something like that. And he's holding a pack of Lucky Strikes. And he said, I never could have made the summit without my Lucky Strikes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you just say cigarettes help you climb mountains or whatever. So, you know, the more things change.
I guess a society based upon scams, get-rich-quick schemes, you're always going to have shit like this. But, I don't know what to do with this. Like there's literally like a company called Excel Nicotine, which is marketing. I'll put the link to the website in here, Matt, if you want to throw it up there. But like, it's basically just selling nicotine pouches you put in your cheek as like a workplace enhancer, not an athletic one, or not a health one, but like just helping you get through your day. At Excel, we believe that by maximizing productivity, we not only enhance individual performance, but also contribute to the overall success and growth of your clients and stakeholders. So, what we're circling around here is babies are inefficient meat computers, right? They don't get enough work done. But maybe if we genetically engineer them to live off pills for food and be strong, like you said, be jacked for the minds, and also ply them with nicotine pouches, we can make the children worth their economic energy inputs.
Right.
And RFK has stopped his the HHS under RFK Jr., has suddenly stopped recommending that children not get on nicotine.
Yeah. When I said that a minute ago, I was thinking I saw a clip of him, RFK Jr., talking positively about nicotine, but I wasn't sure. I thought I might have been confusing him with somebody, although, you know, he's very distinctive.
He pops. Yeah, I don't think you confuse his voice with anyone else.
Right.
But, like he pops zins in the middle of, like, congressional hearings, oversight hearings.
Right.
Like, he'll just openly do it. Like you're the Secretary of Health and Human Services, and you can't go 2 hours without a fucking nicotine fix for the benefit of public appearances? And now you stop telling kids to not vape? What planet are we living on? Oh, God.
Well, the FBI director's doing keg stands in locker rooms and shit, so...
Bro, we're almost out of time, but I do want to... Nancy Guthrie's still missing.
Right.
Like, there's a huge, like, whatever's going on in Jalisco and Puerto Vallarta, where, like, the Mexican government...
Dude, that shit's crazy, yeah.
Killed the leader of Jalisco Next Generation.
Right, and now they're retaliating, setting cars on fire all over the place and shit. Yeah, and in tourist areas specifically, so it's like acts of actual terror. Yeah, I've been to Puerto Vallarta, dude. That shit's nuts.
And everybody, like, everybody LARPs on the internet, so I can't tell what's real, but the Jalisco Next Generation, he was a figurehead, kind of like a very popular, like, inspiring leader for them. They're threatening to do, like, because MAGA influencers are saying America did this, which, like, maybe we cooperated, maybe we helped, maybe we did it, and Mexico's taking cover for it. But the reason they're taking credit for it is so Jalisco Next Generation doesn't retaliate with terror attacks on American citizens in Puerto Vallarta on vacation. Right. And right. Within American territory, it's very easy to get across the border and set off a car bomb in San Antonio. Right. The
FBI director has shit going on, is what you're saying. Yeah, right. Or at least should. Yeah. He is very busy not prosecuting the Epstein files people, though. Am I right?
Yeah. We're theoretically building up to fucking invade Iran. I know the FBI systematically dismantled their counterintelligence program, basically, but there should be at least three or four guys keeping an eye on whether or not Iran's planning terror attacks inside the United States, and the FBI director is drinking beers with a bunch of 20-year-olds in Milan.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And...
yeah. flew over there on private on taxpayer dollars and shit, too, I'm sure, so... MAGA, baby. Feeling great all the time. All right, that'll be it for this edition of Weekly Skews, but real quick, if you want to see me do stand-up live and in person, go to treycrowder.com. Thanks to everybody who came out in Atlanta. Those were a lot of fun. Up next, we got Chicago, Denver, Steamboat Springs, Wisconsin, Vermont, Philly, and a bunch of others. Raleigh. A whole lot more coming up, all at treycrowder.com. Also, go to check out Good Skews. It's Producer Matt's audio exclusive podcast. It's on the audio feed for this, like the podcast feed for the show. Good people doing good things. It's a nice palate cleanser. And consider supporting this show on Patreon. In doing so, you get bonus episodes and ad-free episodes, all for $5 a month. Two full-length bonus episodes, including Skew and A's, where we answer you, the skewers, burning questions, as well as, like I said, you get every main episode of Skews ad-free as well. $5 a month on Patreon. Search for my name and you'll find it, or go to weeklyskews.com/more. That's it. Thank you guys very much for watching. See you next time. Love you. Bye.
Skew.